Well, wow, another Sunday. Where is the time going? I've had opportunity to speak with a few people this week, so thank you for communicating. We've been looking at spiritual gifts. We've been looking at body ministry. We've been looking at it encouraging each other. And I was led to Ephesians 3, verse 16 again, a portion of scripture that I used to read out on a Sunday morning on a regular basis. And I used it as a prayer, as a backdrop, just to say, this is our prayer together. This is what I'm saying to us. And I want to start with that, because this morning I want to simply be an encouragement. I know whenever we read God's word together, whenever we look through scripture, it should be to edify, encourage, build up. It should be giving us the opportunities to repent and to move forward, and to expect and believe that God empowers his people. But this week, after speaking to some of you, I do realise that after months of not meeting together, it's so easy for us to feel isolated. It's so easy for there to be almost, can I put it this way, like a cloud sometimes. It just feels a bit heavy and a bit damp. But God is a God of light, isn't he? He's a God of love. He's a God of encouragement. He's a God that wants to remind me and you today of the simplicity of our relationship with him, and that he's coming back for us, a victorious bride. So let me start with Ephesians 3, verse 16. I want to pray this over us as a church. And you know what amen means? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you, yes, you, with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. What a fantastic portion of scripture. According to his power that's at work within us. So I want to read us as many scriptures as I can get through in the time that we have. Take these portions of scriptures at face value. Let them lift you up. You know, it's just not enough to hear the word, it's to digest the word, it's to do the word, not just to be hearers, but to be doers, and to take God's word and to allow this bread of life to do exactly that, to feed us and to bring life. Amen. So let's together be encouraged as a body as we listen to what God says to us. In Matthew 28, verse 16, it says this: then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. This was before Jesus was crucified. He gave them instructions on where to congregate, where to meet for when he came back. When they saw him, this is the disciples, they worshipped him. Wow, can you imagine how it would have been jubilant, where they thought that the Messiah, the King of Kings, the one who came to bring redemption, had died. But actually, when they saw him, they worshipped him. Then it goes on to say, some doubted. Jesus came to them and said, let me pause. There are times, aren't there, where doubt does come into our lives, our thought patterns. Doubt comes into some of our actions, doesn't it? You know, here we have a group of people and they were expecting. A group of disciples, they understood what they were supposed to do. And yet when they physically saw Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, some worshipped and some doubted. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It goes on. Let me see what this says. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, he didn't say, you stinking rotten sinners, how could you doubt me? This is what he did say. How encouraging is God's word? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he says. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In other words, he was saying, you may have doubts now, but listen, I'm giving you power and I'm giving you authority. Now go, but you're not going to be on your own. I'm going to be with you. And that same message is to us, his disciples today. He wants us to do the same thing, to listen, to put aside our doubts and to take hold of the Great Commission and to minister God's truth to all people, but realizing that we're not on our own, that he's with us. That's good news, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, it says this, for we, meaning his church, we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, that's us, his family, God's building. He uses many metaphors here. You are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building. By the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. Now, we're being told, instructed something here, that when we do build, let's be careful on what we build on and how we build. Let's be careful of the materials that we use. Goes on in verse 11 to say, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we understand, don't we, that when we build, using the authority that God's given us, we build on that foundation, that solid rock of Christ Jesus, who came, who lived, who died, who ascended into heaven, who's coming back for a victorious church. We build upon the redemptive work of the cross, don't we? We build on Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. And that's where I want to pause again, church. I would like what we build to be meaningful, purposeful, to do good in our communities, to do good in our homes, good to our families, to build on the solidness of what Jesus Christ has given us. Solidness doesn't sound a right word, but it is to be solid, to be something that is sustainable. He uses these illustrations here of everything being tested by fire. When we look at gold, silver, and precious stones, they will resist the fiery furnace. They will be scorched and they will be heated up, but they will survive. When we look at the straw and the hay and the stubble of wood, they will be consumed. So what the writer is saying here is when you build with good materials. So I want to address us as a church to say, over the years, we have built with good materials and we've also used poor materials. When we've been tested by fire, those things that were poor, that weren't of God, have been consumed. They are no more. But the good things survive. And there are many, many good things over the years that God has given us the privilege of being part of, that you and I together, we as a body, have built on the foundation of Christ Jesus. We've ministered his word and we've seen lives changed. So I want us to look at these scriptures, just not to go in any depth, just to encourage us to say, yes, there may be times that we doubt, but God's still given us power and authority. He gave the same power, the same authority to those that worshipped and those that doubted. How gracious is God? Remember when we spoke about the body ministry? We're all part of the body, whether we're the eye or the ear or the mouth or the big toe. We're all needed. We're all connected. So let's be a people. You be a person, an individual that will build on the foundation of Christ Jesus, knowing that you have a great inheritance. Another portion of scripture that I've got down here is 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1. We're starting at, as God's co-workers. Remember, we're co-workers in this field, so as God's co-workers. Paul is saying here, you know, you and I, we're in this together. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. See, God gives grace. He sends rain on the good and the not so good, doesn't he? He allows us to see blessings, those that deserve them and those that don't. Now, grace means undeserved favour. So as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's undeserved favour in vain, but put it to work. For he says, in the time of my favour, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. But then he goes on to say this, I tell you now. So if you are struggling, like one or two people have been that we've been talking with and praying with, if you've been struggling for whatever reason, may this portion of scripture illuminate your way afresh today. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Salvation. Now is the time of God's favour. Now, we don't have to live on what bread we was given yesterday. Remember with the Israelites, they were told to go out and gather enough for that day. Not to take too much, because if they took enough for tomorrow, tomorrow's would rot today. And we can't live on what we had yesterday because we needed to have eaten it yesterday. So today, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. Let's be encouraged afresh to keep working in this vineyard of the Lord's. In John 13 verse 14, or starting at verse 14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. This is Jesus talking. You'll be familiar with this portion of scripture. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. And they're reclining and they're eating and they're drinking and they're having fellowship. And he took off his outer garment and he wrapped a towel around his waist. He got a bowl of water and he started to wash the disciples' feet. Now that job was reserved for the lowly. For those that didn't lift their heads up, they kept their heads down. Their job was to wash the filth and the muck off of everyone else's feet. But Jesus did something remarkable that leaders and kings and nobles of that day would never, ever have done. Yet we're talking about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He says this, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Now, thankfully, we don't have to have servants today to wash our feet. We are more than capable of doing it ourselves, aren't we? But you understand the picture here. It's to serve. It's a servant's heart. As I have done for you, Jesus says, very truly, or listen, please take note, he says, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now in verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. We want to be blessed, don't we? Yes, we do. We want to be blessed. So one way for us to continue to be blessed is to continue to serve others. So don't be worn out with well-doing. You know, we haven't met for probably 6 months or more now. And it's a long time, isn't it? It's half a year. It's a long time, but God is the same yesterday, today and forever. So let me encourage you. Let's encourage one another. Let's communicate to one another what God is doing in our lives. As I said before, if you're struggling, then we want to struggle with you. Or should I say, we want to help you through those struggles. Susan and I, we've had some correspondence from some really good friends of ours who are Christians. And some of them have been going through some really tough times. And what they say to us is, will you stand with us in prayer? They don't ask us for anything other than our commitment to love them and serve them through the act of prayer. So I didn't go and wash my friend's feet, But I did pray for him. I did serve him. I did humble myself. And I prayed. And we had a good report, not because of my prayer, but because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he just called us to intercede. So let's pray one for another. Let's serve one another in that way. We may not be able to meet, but there may be small gestures that we can do for each other just to say, hey guys, keep on keeping on. And this is my way of being able to do that small thing for you, that I can encourage you to look into God's word. There are times we need to dig beneath the surface, but there's other times we just need to take what God is saying to us at face value. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than the master. But now, in verse 17, now that you know these things, now that you know that I came to serve, not to be served, now you know how to act and react around other people, you will be blessed if you do these things. Let's be a blessed church. Continue to see God's hand move in us and through us. In the Old Testament, in 2 Kings 2, verse 9, it says this. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you. Now, Elijah was a prophet of the Lord. And what I mean by that is, it's not the New Testament prophet where we proclaim God's revelation through his word and we're given maybe words of knowledge. This is God's prophet. When he spoke, it was the very words of God. It was as if God is whispering in his ear and he's repeating what he's being told. It's a completely different term here to be a prophet of the Lord. It's to foretell the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man had an anointing, as we would call it in the Bible. There was an unction, a power. Now, when Jesus said to his disciples, all power and authority I give to you, it's the same power and authority that this man had. When he spoke, people took notice. Why? Because the authority didn't come from himself. It came from the office that God had given him. God had spoken. Elijah spoke out God's word. Same power. Elisha, he said, what can I do for you? Elisha had followed Elijah for 15 years. Remember, if you look at the story in Kings, you'll see that there was a time where he was ploughing in the field. And he wanted so desperately to learn from the man of God. He wanted to be his bag carrier. He wanted to be the one that washed his master's feet. He wanted to learn. For 15 years, he carried his bag until he got to this point where Elijah recognized the call on this man's life. And he said, what can be done for you? And this is what he said in reply. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. And the reason I drop this portion of scripture in from the Old Testament into all these New Testament readings, when we're talking about body ministry, when we're talking about the gold and the silver and the preciousness and being men and women of a servant heart. Why I drop this in is because it correlates to what we was talking about, the spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire. Eagerly desire the gifts that build the church up. What gifts build the church up? Well, to prophesy, to preach, to serve. They build the church up, don't they? Those gifts aren't about just the one individual. They're about us. When we give of our finances and our time and our talents, it's a serving, isn't it? It builds the church up. When we have worship, it builds the church up. When someone brings a word of encouragement, it builds the church up. So we're told in the New Testament to eagerly desire. Well, what happened here was Elisha understood the power and authority of God. And he wanted a double portion. He wanted a double portion. It's okay to desire God's gifts, as long as they are for God's people. And when you look at the life of this man, Elisha, you can see that he grew into the mantle that was given him. He was given a cloak to wear and he grew into it in power and stature. He served his way into the presence of God, didn't he? So let's not be afraid to eagerly desire to serve God in a greater way. So whether we're in our house, our bungalow, our flat, whether we're in our caravan, whether we're in our back garden, whatever it is God has blessed you with, we can eagerly desire a double portion of the Spirit of God. In Isaiah 61, the scripture that I believe God called me into ministry on, it says a double portion for his people. Then there's enough, and then there's more than enough. And when we have enough, there's enough to feed us. When we have more than enough, there's more than enough to feed us and others. A double portion doesn't mean that we are greedy. It means we have more to give away. If you desire to be a wealthy person, that should be a desire that God satisfies your needs and the needs of those around you so that you have an abundance to give away. So let's be a people throughout this next season, whatever that season may mean for us, that we ask God for that double portion of his goodness, that double portion of his grace, that double portion of his patience and understanding, that double portion of the insight that we need to see the revelation that God's given us through his written word, and to believe that we can hear his rhema word, that as we sleep we can have visions and dreams that the Bible talks about, to understand that God can use you, yes, you, as much as he can use me. We need to be men and women in this day that know that we're building on the rock. And it's what God says about you, not what I say about you. It's not what your neighbour says about you. It's not what your besties, your best friends or family members say about you. It's what God says about you. So I want to encourage us this week. And I want to say, let's look at the scriptures. Let's scratch beneath the surface. But let's take on board the simplicity of the grace that God has poured out in our lives. Undeserved favour. If you got what you deserved, we'd all be in hell. But God has given us grace. But we need to take hold of that gift, don't we? And share that gift with other people. So let's continue in the New Testament. Hebrews 3 verse 12, starting at 12. See to it, brothers and sisters. Church, see to it that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Wow, when we listen to the teaching of God's apostles, they don't hold back. Do you know what? The truth is, God loves you. God loves you. But there are times where we need to be reminded. We can say things maybe in a different way, but it's always good to say it the way God says it, but we need to receive it the way God's people would have received it. Brothers and sisters, it's a term of endearment, saying family members, you know that I come to you because I love you and I care for you and I lay my life down for you. This is the backdrop. It says, brothers and sisters, see that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But rather than having that deceitfulness, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. So today is today. Tomorrow is tomorrow. So today I'm to encourage you. I'm to encourage you. So none of us or none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What Paul is saying here is that sin deceives. And when sin deceives, it hardens that area. And when it hardens that area, the word of God cannot get in. When it hardens our hearts, when our hearts become hardened to a situation or a circumstance, God's word can't get in. When I was suffering a little while ago with my depression, I was on medication and I was on strong dose. And yes, it did help me. It did help me through a tough time. However, it hardened me. Things that would affect me didn't affect me, and that concerned me. And it wasn't because I didn't care. But for me, it may be different for you, for me, when the Lord speaks to me, he shows me something, it affects me. It affects me in a way that it should affect me. It softens my heart, it melts me, it causes me to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. But because of not sinfulness, but because of medication, my heart became hard. And that's a picture of what sin can do. When we allow sin into our lives, and sin is to miss the mark, You know, there's many people that we'll meet who'll say they don't believe that God exists anymore. And when you get to the root of that, it's because they want to do something that's contrary to God's word. So sin comes in and hardens their hearts. And Paul says, don't allow these things to harden your heart. Encourage one another daily, not just every now and again, but daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin, the root of sin comes from Satan, and Satan comes to rob, steal and destroy. God comes to build us up, doesn't he? He's our saviour from sin. In verse 14, we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. It indicates here there's going to be a struggle, but hold on to the conviction that God gave you. You was convicted of that sinfulness, that we needed to have a saviour. Hold on to that firmly to the very end. In verse 15, as has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did when you was rebellious. Today, if there's an area in our lives that maybe we come hard to and we don't like that, maybe you're hearing God's voice about that today, then allow God to soften and encourage you. Let's continue in God's word. Let's continue to look at what he has to say. Matthew 12, verse 28. Come to me. This is Jesus speaking. Remember what we've just said, that sin's crouching at the door. It's trying to harden our hearts, that God says, I've given you all power and authority. We're part of a body ministry. We can encourage one another. We can build on a solid foundation. We can use the precious things that God has given us. But there are times, aren't there, where it's easy for us to worship. But there are times, church, where we don't. There are times where we don't. We don't need to give in to that doubt. We need to give that doubt to God. This portion of scripture helps us. It's simple, but it's powerful. Jesus' words. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary. Are you weary? Come to him. And burdened. Are you burdened? Come to him. Go to Jesus. But you may say, well, how do I do that? Well, find somewhere quiet. Find somewhere quiet where you're not disturbed, where you don't feel embarrassed to speak, and just simply say, Lord, fill me. Encourage me. Lord, I feel weary and I feel burdened. Lord, take my burden, take my weariness. I lay them at the foot of the cross. Come to him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And he says this, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. Do you want rest? Come to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is, don't you? No? Well, I'll tell you what a yoke is. A yoke is what you would see on a pair of oxen. And if you imagine it's got a piece in the middle, and then it's got two U-shaped pieces that went around the necks of the oxen, or the cattle, or the horse, whatever it is. And that would join the two and make them one. And what would happen, they would try to make sure that the strength of each animal was equal. So they ploughed in a straight line, or they walked in the straight line, or they towed the cart in a straight line, because they were equally yoked. But what Jesus is saying here is that you are burdened and you are weary, and he's not. But if you put his yoke on, he will lead you, he will guide you, he will keep things straight for you. God is stronger, yes, but you are not stronger than him, so it means he will lead you. And in that picture of the oxen, if there was one ox that was stronger than the other, then the weaker would have to follow the stronger. And that's what God is saying to you and me, that he's gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This is a portion of scripture that some of you may disagree with, but it's still truth. It says, I won't give you more than you can bear. And there's times where we feel we can't bear it. But if we realise what God says, and we take him at his word, when it seems, just before it gets unbearable, just before it goes to the point of breaking, God says, give it to me. So if you've given it to him, you can start afresh. Lord, I am worried, I'm concerned, I'm anxious about this. Give it to him. Seems simplistic, so let me help you with that. How do we do that? How do we give our burdens to God? By simply saying, Lord, this is too much for me. I can't do this without you. Please fill me, encourage me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, that my strength may be renewed, Lord. Show me through your word. Lord, give me a picture. Give me a fresh revelation of your goodness. I want to continue to encourage you by just reading God's word, letting his word seep and saturate into our lives by articulating the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of God's truth. But he says afresh to you, come. If you're weary, come. If you're burdened, come. If you're anxious, come. And I will give you rest. In Matthew 23, verse 12. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is Jesus talking. He said, listen, if you say, I don't need God, then God's not going to come, is he? But if you humble yourself and say, I can't do this, then that's at the very point where the Holy Spirit comes in and say, good, let me carry you. Let me hold you. Let me wipe you down. Let me stand you back on the rock. Let me help you to go forward. So let's be encouraged this week. Time has already escaped from us. We've been speaking for 31 minutes now, and I want to keep your attention, but I don't want to overstep things either. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. I want you to be all that God's called you to be. You're part of a family, and the best is yet to come. There's an opportunity for us, while we are isolated, while we're on our own, to fully understand who we are in Christ Jesus as an individual. So when we come together as that body, then there's more of his grace poured out, and there's more of his power poured out, and we can encourage one another. Those that are weak can be strengthened. Those that are strengthened can continue to strengthen others. Yes? Amen? Amen. Let me just finish with a couple of scriptures that I've already got written down here. In Ephesians 4:2, it says this. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, let me say it again, to each one of you, each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. He's given you a portion of faith, hasn't he? He's given you a portion. Let's use it. Let's continue to be encouraged. Church, we will meet again soon. I will bring you an update. If you're feeling anxious, cast that anxiety onto Christ. If you're feeling burdened, cast that burden onto Christ. Let's pray for one another. If God lays someone on your heart, just bring that offering to him. If you're feeling heavy and you're feeling that there's a cloud over you at the moment, then the way to remove that cloud is just by quoting the scripture again that we had right at the beginning. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus has told them to go. Go to the closet where God has told you to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. The difference between the doubting and the worship is the worship. So if you're feeling a little bit heavy, a little bit grey, a little bit uninspired, then start to worship him. And as you worship him, he will lift you up. Amen? Amen.